Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of A Good Drop, where every other week or so we take an afternoon siesta and sip our favourite smoky drink.
That's right. We are today finally getting around to talking about one of the greatest drinks from Mexico, mezcal.
Indeed. I'm Stu.
I'm Michael.
Cheers.
Cheers. We're back and talking mezcal.
Yeah, I can't believe this stayed off our radar for so long.
Yeah, no, I was a little surprised when we realized we hadn't done it yet.
Mm.
And I guess for anyone who doesn't know, we should probably start by identifying for you what mezcal is.
Mm.
Because it is a distilled liquor made from the agave plant, predominantly in the Oaxaca region of Mexico, where about 90% of it is produced.
90%. Mm. So I saw three different stats when I was researching. Some websites said 90%, some websites said 70%, another one said 60%. What actually is it? We don't really know.
We don't know, and I imagine if you ask anyone in Oaxaca, they would tell you it's 90%.
Yeah. Well, of course they would. And they live there.
And that is where it began, I believe.
Yes. It's the hometown of mezcal. Not so mezcal and tequila. Like, we'll be mentioning tequila quite a lot in this episode because they start very similarly.
Yes, and it's hard to talk about mezcal without talking about what it isn't, and yep, that is tequila.
Yeah.
Because tequila is actually a type of mezcal, not the other way around.
Yeah, just like Shiraz is a type of wine.
Yeah, specifically a type of red wine.
Made from a specific type of grape.
Exactly.
Which is what tequila is. It's a mezcal made with a specific type of agave.
Yeah, because mezcal can be made with any of over 30 different types of agave.
Yeah.
Whereas tequila has to be made specifically and only with blue agave.
Mm. And even the method of production is different, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, because it's quite different, in fact.
And when we start talking about flavor profiles, you'll see why.
Yes.
Silly noisy corvids in the background.
Yeah, such a difference in flavor profiles.
It's fine.
Yeah, such a difference in flavor profile. But I guess we might as well begin with the process because it's different pretty much from the word go.
No, let's talk about history first.
Oh, okay. If you want to start there, start way back then.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Got to get in the way back machine because because it kind of starts with the Spanish conquerors.
Oh, well, yes, because they did take distillation methods with them.
Yeah, they've been doing it since the 9th century. Well, they've been distilling alcohol since the 9th century. CE, for just in case it's worth mentioning. Because you never know when alcohol comes around.
Very true. And so naturally, you get to a whole new place and they start asking themselves, what can we turn into liquor?
Well, only because they ran out of their current stock, which, you know, doesn't really surprise anyone.
Yeah, not even remotely. They drank a lot, and they naturally began looking for things that could be turned to a mash and distilled, and found a very plentiful plant.
Yeah. Still grows wild to this day.
And, of course, because the Spanish were, at that time, conquerors, and had many locals working for them, those locals then learned the distillation methods from them, and they changed them and developed them, and some may say improved upon them in a way that worked towards the flavors they were getting from the agave plant.
Indeed. So for thousands of years, the indigenous tribes of Mexico had been making an alcoholic drink from the agave plant, also known as the maguey plant. They'd been making a kind of like a milky looking cloudy drink called pulque. And it's kind of like, I suppose the closest example could be wine, like a fruit wine.
Yeah, which makes sense. They didn't really know how to distill.
No. Well, they didn't need to learn how.
They knew how to make alcohol.
Yeah. And so the pulque was part of their tradition for thousands of years until the Spanish came along and went, hey, this looks, you guys are drinking this a lot like wine. Let's see what happens when you distill it.
Can we make it stronger?
Yeah, jerks. They have a lot to answer for, those conquerors, conquistadors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they...
The Spanish Inquisition.
They melted down a lot of things.
Yeah. Indeed. But that's a different podcast.
It certainly is, yes.
So, before the Spanish arrived, drinking alcoholic beverages were heavily restricted, almost taboo, outside of ceremonies. And then the... when the Spanish conquest came along, they kind of normalized drinking alcohol. It was a easy way to get started on what would become modern day mezcal. And believe it or not, pulque is still sold in, you can still buy pulque in Mexico, but it's more akin to moonshine or street cachaça in Brazil.
Well, it's still made in the traditional way with the traditional methods, yeah, like it was for
thousands of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you might find it sold in milk cartons or milk jugs instead of the clay pots of ye old Mexico.
Yes. Though those clay pots did continue to have a purpose into the mezcal days.
Yeah?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when we begin talking about the methods that went into production of mezcal, we'll get to that.
Well, now sounds like a good time.
But, I thought you were still going on history.
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Right,
that's the rundown.
Yeah, so the production. But to talk about the production, we have to talk about the production of tequila first. So you can see the difference.
Oh, actually, one thing I did forget to mention, the myth of how we got mezcal, where a lightning bolt struck a tree in and cooked the heart of the agave plant, and its juices spilled out.
And then those juices were miraculously distilled by nothing.
Yeah.
And
well, that's where it started. They discovered that this thing had juices in it, obviously. And so maybe they left it for a while and it fermented itself as juice tends to do.
As the story often goes.
Yeah.
That a thing left unattended fermented and became an alcoholic drink.
And people rejoiced.
Yes, and there was much rejoicing.
Yeah. So, yes. Back to...
So, production methods. Because... Tequila, because the differences in the production methods begin at the agave plant and what they do with it.
Mm.
Because for tequila, the agave is steamed in industrial ovens, then milled with large grinders to extract the sugary aguamiel. And then that aguamiel is fermented, sometimes with added yeast. Traditionally, that yeast came from a yeast that naturally occurs on the leaves of the agave plant.
Hmm.
But Now, if they added, it's just store-bought yeast.
Well, it's I believe it's a cultivated yeast of that original strain. So they don't let it. They don't leave it to chance anymore.
Yeah.
Store-bought yeast.
Well, it is store-bought yeast.
I'm sure they would have a fit of you if they heard you call it that.
Yes, and so it's then left to ferment for between 7 and 12 days, followed by double or triple distilling, and the finished product is then aged in white oak barrels. Now, with mezcal, the agave is buried in large underground pits to cook for several days. And that is part of what we'll come to later on the difference in flavor. That's where it all begins, in those underground ovens, because the roasted agave is then pressed by a large stone wheel drawn by a burro.
Or a horse.
A mule or a donkey.
Yeah.
It's not a horse. I suppose it could be a horse.
It could be a horse.
But traditionally, they do it the old-fashioned way, the traditional way. And they do that to squeeze out the caramelized liquids from within, which are then fermented in traditionally clay pots, and some modern distillers still use that traditional method, fermenting in clay pots, and others use copper pots.
Yeah, copper stills as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. They even distilled it with clay pots to start with, until they till they started using copper pots.
And sometimes they still do. Again, the traditionalists will do it as traditionally as they can right the way through, but they believe that the clay or copper pots that they use for fermentation and distillation helps to give it that smooth, unique flavor. And also that the whole small batch thing of it, where they're not mass producing, not using so many additives, not using so many chemicals, means the finished product is more pure.
Yeah. It would mean that it changes slightly from batch to batch. It might potentially, I guess, if all the equipment was new, but they've been doing this for a very long time, so...
Yeah, and as we know, anyone who has drunk... Well, anyone who has consumed small batch alcohols from craft distillers knows that once they get it dialed in, they're pretty consistent.
Mm. And the average person wouldn't notice flavor from time to time.
Yeah, unless you've got bottles from two different batches and you're doing a literal blindfolded side-by-side comparison.
Back to back, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
No way.
But now, because we have it in front of us, I think before we talk about the flavor, we should taste it and smell it. Because as soon as we mention what I'm sure we will notice immediately, our listeners will know that that's the real difference between mezcal and tequila.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been sitting in front of us for the last 15 minutes. I had to check the time on the recording. So, I can sort of smell it.
Yeah, unlike tequila, which is largely a shotting beverage, mezcal, being artisanal, is for sipping. And in fact, speaking of artisanal, I guess we should tell you which mezcal it is we're drinking. This is the Pelton de la Muerte Mezcal Artisanal from Oaxaca.
Yeah, and it's made with the espadin?
With the espadin agave.
Yeah, espadin agave, which is the which is what the majority of mezcal is made from. It's like, you know, I'm really keen.
And I guess we should mention the alcohol content tends to be between 30 and 45%.
And today it's 41%.
Yes, we used to mention that a whole bunch, and it's kind of slipped of late, but we should mention it here, because 15% is actually quite a bit of differentiation between the weakest mezcal and the stronger mezcal.
Yeah. Indeed. So, what does it smell
what
like?
What does it smell like?
That's interesting. It kind of, first impression is that it smells like a cross between tequila and whiskey.
It smells smoky, earthy.
Yeah.
To me.
But very much agave.
Oh, very much agave. Yeah. Yeah, the agave is still very present, but...
But yeah, it does smell like... smells like tequila that you're sipping by a campfire.
Yes.
Like if you're out camping somewhere and you have your bottle of tequila, you've got the earthy smells of the forest plus your campfire smoke.
Yeah, and it stands to reason you're going to get that from burying it in a flaming pile of dirt.
Hot rocks, Mikkel.
Yes, but it sounds so much more dramatic when you're burying it in a flaming pile of dirt.
Yeah. All right, well, shall we?
Let's. Cheers.
Salute. Whoa.
It's...
That's got a kick.
It's even smokier than I expected.
Whoa.
Because the smokiness is the major distinction. The smokiness, the smoothness. It's got a kick, but it's smooth.
Yeah.
Like, compared to tequila, it's smooth.
Yeah. Wow. So that reminds me that that's smoky like your Islay whiskies, like your LaGovlin, your Talisker Storm. Those whiskies are smoky AF, and that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, and that smoky aftertaste, like the aftertaste I'm getting is just a lingering smoke.
Yeah, and agave. Like it's almost like a creaminess or an oiliness left behind.
It's like a, it's slightly sweet.
Yeah.
But with that smoke attached, it's a sweet smoke.
Hmm. Very different.
Yeah.
Very, very different. But it's, it starts off like tequila, because everyone knows and loves tequila, with a hint of smoke. And then it kind of whacks you in the back with a, whacks you in the back of the head with a flaming branch.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that it's, you know, smooth, it sweet talks you, it buys you dinner, and then it backhands you. But
it doesn't really sweet talk you, though. It just kind of hits you all in one go. Wow.
And it's sweet afterwards, though. Sweet and smooth. And
which makes you want to have another sip.
Yeah. Mm. Because it's only that initial bit where it's a little bit bitey.
Yeah.
And then it smooths out.
It's very sharp on the alcohol burn, though. This would be a challenging drink for a newcomer.
Oh, yeah. This is not a beginner's drink.
Yeah.
I mean, even the smoke flavor would overwhelm someone who was... And in fact, I would say if you're not a fan of smoky, peaty whiskies, if you've tried them and you don't like them, avoid mezcal.
Yeah. Well,
you probably won't like it either.
At least avoid this one. There are probably mezcals that are not quite so smoky.
Well, and that is apparently one of the things that is very distinctive among mezcals is that they all have the smokiness, but the level and type of smokiness varies from place to place, plant to plant, and between distillers.
Yeah, because everyone's got their own slightly different method.
Yeah, they've got their own style. They're putting their own spin on it.
Yeah. I like it. It's one hell of a drink, though.
Whew. That's good. That's good.
Mm. Not imported by one of those huge name drinks either.
It's no.
Imported by Pinnacle Drinks, which is still quite big, but I don't believe they make much themselves or own much.
Yeah, not like when something's imported by Diageo.
Yeah. You know they already own it.
Yeah, if they've imported it, yeah, they own it. What was that fantastic importer that we really liked?
The Spanish Acquisition?
That's it. Why is this not imported by the Spanish Acquisition?
Who knows? But what a hell of a name.
Oh, yeah, I didn't expect the Spanish Acquisition.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm very pleasantly surprised by this. I knew it would be smoky, but I did not anticipate how smoky it might be.
No, same. And I was actually half surprised you didn't get one with one of the worms in, which apparently is not usually a worm. It's the larvae of an agave moth, I think they called it. It's a moth larva of the species Hypopter agavis, which are moths that live off the agave leaves. Unless, of course, it's a scorpion, then it's obviously a scorpion.
Yeah, and I mean, tempting though that was, I really like the look of this bottle.
Yeah.
And you can see this by looking at the picture, and you'll see what I mean. It's it's a good-looking bottle. It's a nice label.
Yeah, but it's also understated. It's just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, and it's from Oaxaca. I mean, it's very OG. Hmm. Like, it's from the right place. It uses it's from the traditional home of Mezcal. It uses the traditional agave for Mezcal.
Mm. It's almost like the OG Mezcal.
Yeah, it's a good representation of what a Mezcal is.
Yeah, good pick.
I suppose it raises the question then, when did they begin putting the larvae in Mezcal?
I couldn't find any specific year on that one. But a lot of people are saying it's a marketing ploy, or some people are saying that it's to signify that the mezcal is good to drink. Some insist it adds flavor, which I don't believe on that one.
And yeah, apparently it began appearing around the 1950s, which means it's certainly not traditional.
No.
And allegedly, when a mezcal maker discovered a moth larvae in a batch of his liquor, he thought it improved the taste and started putting it on purpose as a marketing strategy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So it was a marketing strategy. How funny.
Yeah, at least according to an article I located.
Mm.
And one must always take these things with a grain of salt, of course. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was a marketing strategy based on pure happenstance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one could easily have ended up in there. They do use the traditional methods, which involves very large portions of the process taking place outside.
Yeah. So, and they probably don't wash, they may not wash the plants beforehand, so, or they may not have washed the plants beforehand before throwing them in the oven.
Yeah, and so one could have ended up in a bottle, and the guy goes, oh, and he tries it, it's like, hey.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah, or thought it didn't make it any worse. It certainly drew attention to it.
Mm, indeed.
Why not add them to every bottle?
Indeed. So on a slightly different note, it is worth mentioning that Mezcal also comes in the three aging brackets. Your silver, your reposado, and your añejo flavors. So even the straight unaged mezcal still gets aged for a few months, but a reposado is aged from. Shit, where do I see it? Oh yeah. Reposado or añejado mezcals are aged from 2 to 9 months, and añejo mezcals are aged for at least 12 months. So that sort of tracks in line with, well, it tracks similarly to tequila. But I'm sure that having tasted it now, I think that these drinks would need less aging to get more nuanced flavors out of them.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And I've just noticed that there's a fancy sticker on the side of the bottle.
Oh? Is it a designation of origin?
Kind of. Have a look.
Oh, yeah. Mezcal Denomination de Origen Certificado. And it's got a ID number.
Yeah, well, there you go. They take it very seriously, and it's one of those shiny kind of...
holographic.
Yeah, ones. Holographic ones that's hard to fake.
And it comes with a QR code, which says Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. At the bottom of it.
Because remember, X is pronounced with a H.
Oh, dear.
Mexico, Oaxaca.
Oh, dear. I've been pronouncing that very wrong all episode then.
Oh, well.
Another bit of trivia for you guys is the word mezcal is derived from the word mezcali. Mezcali. Which kind of means cooked agave. Oh. Oven-baked agave.
Yes. Exactly. Which is pretty much exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's where it all started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mezcali.
And where it all started is where this episode ends.
Indeed. Is it?
Well, that's all I've got.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't got
all you've got? Yeah.
I haven't got much else. However, this is the first time I've had mezcal, and therefore means we must bottle caperate this new and exciting beverage.
That is true. How many bottle caps would you give this particular mezcal?
If you'd asked me my opinion of this drink 4 or 6 years ago, I'd have said this is awful because it is very strong. Very strong in flavor, very strong in alcohol burn. And I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. But after since you and I have been doing this podcast for nearly for 4 years now, my tastes have grown and I can appreciate bolder, more intricate drinks. So this one gets a 8.5 or 9. I'm a bit undecided on that half point. Loses a little bit because it's a challenging drink. It's bold, it's punchy, it's smoky, and it's unforgiving.
Yes, to all of those things.
But very good.
Yeah, and I think I would probably give it an 8, 8.5.
Stop it.
But no, I think I would quite happily give it the 8.5 without umming and ahhing, because yes, it is complicated. It is definitely not a beginner drink. But it has flavors I like. And once you get past that initial oomph that it's got, it's very smooth and very mellow. And the flavors that linger are ones I find to be very pleasant.
Yeah. But if you're not expecting it, it's liquid smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hence, if you don't like smoky drinks, this may not be for you.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Much like, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving may not be for you.
And on that note, if you liked what you heard, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We are A Good Drop, all about alcohol, on your favorite podcast app, including Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
You can also find us on social medias, Facebook and Instagram, as A Good Drop Podcast.
And if you want to check out our giant library of 180 plus episodes, jump on our website, agooddrop.com.au, or if you want to send us any comments, questions, feedback, or if you've got a favorite mezcal you want us to know about, send us an email to agooddrop@gmail.com.
And be sure to tune in next time when we bring it back home to talk about homebrew.
Another one that we should have mentioned earlier.
Yes, we began in our episode on homebrew mead.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of
forgot.
Let it brew for a while.
It ended up in the back of the garage, long forgotten until today.
Yes. Now the idea has matured and it's ready for our next episode.
Indeed. So until then, cheers.
Cheers.